Hey everyone, I'm Marisol Nichols. Thank you so much for tuning in for part two of my sit-down with Sheriff Christopher Swanson of Genesee County, Michigan. Now, in case you weren't with us the last episode, Sheriff Swanson is known to many for his efforts in bringing numerous child predators and human traffickers to justice. He is a staunch advocate for protecting the elderly from abuse, and he is a three-time author. And personally, I have been fortunate enough to work undercover with him in Genesee County, Michigan, along with his highly skilled ghost team. I also consider him a very dear friend. Welcome to part two.
When people hear you say, order up, I don't think they understand. Robot, you can order a kid through a gaming app. This isn't a special dark web where you need a special password. Mm-hmm. This is everywhere. So for parents, because I'm a mom, I've had it up my kid.
Yeah.
Like she was telling me, like, and I obviously I know what to look for a little bit,
right.
But she's like, yeah, mom, there's this woman. She likes us all to call her mama. And I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what? And I just like put an end to freaking that. For our fellow teenagers out there that are going to be listening to this, or parents of teenagers, what can we give them that they can use and utilize to protect themselves and protect their family?
So that's a great question, because I'd say the same thing to parents whose kids are addicts or whose kids are fighting whatever it is. When it comes to parenting, whether you're the birth parents, you're the custody parents, grandparents, you have to have controlled growth when it comes to exposing your kids to everything. There's no time limit to talk to your kids about the evil of the world. There's great things in the world, but don't shroud them enough where by the time it happens, they can't even see it. Like my boys know exactly what human trafficking is.
Right.
They were seeing crack cocaine and heroin and all sorts of dope when they were 5 and 6 years old.
Sure,
I didn't explain everything, but I'm like, hey, when someone pulls up and they give you something that looks like this and they asked you to try it, that's going to kill you. And here's the dead body.
Right.
When some, like I want them to like visualize it. And a lot of times we think our teens should be, you know, protected with, but if you look at what's online, they're already exposed to that. So if they're exposed to it, I want it to be me that exposes it to them. And so that's why podcasts like what you're doing is getting conversations going. And parents need to see it too. They're like, I don't want my kid to know that world. They need to know that world because when they're not with you, the world's going
to
come find them.
Right.
All the things we're talking, like order up. I mean, yeah, I know there's a vernacular that I use. Unfortunately, it's most people see it as I'm going to order up food, but this are human beings. And just like you can buy a high-end car or you can buy a junker, you know, sometimes these beaters that people are buying, I mean, there's more of them than are high-end cars. So you're not going to see the organization like you would on a high-end. They go online, they see somebody's face, there's some visual attraction there. I have a fetish with this, they'll order them up. But on the other end, there's the high-end models, the VPs of banks.
Right.
The police officers, the ones who have a lot more to risk if they get caught. So if they have more to risk, number one, they're going to pay more. They're also going to get exactly what they want.
Right.
It's kind of like dessert. If I'm going to eat a dessert, I don't want a one dessert. I want a 10 dessert.
They know how to order.
Exactly. And they know what they want because they don't have the frequency like the beaters do. So they literally will say, I want her or him to be 4'4". I want them to have a hard belly. I want them to have red hair. I want them to be unshaved. I want them, and they can order up. And every time they click, it's more and more money. And so you have predators that are out there that are going, here's what I got. Just like ordering up an Uber.
Right.
That happens all over the world, and it happens in America.
You said something very important that I really want people to get, which is that story that you told. That boy was being groomed for 3 months.
Yes.
What I want people to understand is how patient these predators are. That guy was forward. He's saying that he was an adult.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've heard countless stories of the ones that are pretending to be the 15-year-old that have the crush on the girl, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I want you forget that the majority is good. The majority of people out there are good. The majority of people on these games are kids.
Yes, yes.
But
I
it's the 20% that are not.
Right.
That are there 24/7 looking and finding,
right.
And they know what to say to these kids. And so are there any signs that, you know, a teenager or someone listening to this, like, oh, they asked me where I live or how tall I am or things like that you could share?
So my first response is to be to adults, because we talk like this and it makes sense to us. We've got a lot of time in the saddle.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about a 13, 14, 15-year-old, you got to think like they think. They don't see the ugliness of the world like we do. So somebody who does break into a conversation, especially if the psychology of that individual goes to school, nobody talks to them.
Right.
goes to school, they get picked on. They you have boys that don't come into maturity faster than girls. So this whole body's like trapped between a boy and a man. They don't know what's happening. And dad works all the time or not even around, or mom is in an abusive relationship. And it's just like a perfect storm. And that's what these groomers are doing, is they're out there fishing for the one that is the most vulnerable, which is, goes back to the start of the show. And I said, we're going to find our most vulnerable population. That's what they do. So if they throw out 100 lines and three of them catch the most vulnerable, that's easy fish. And that's what they do. And so I think people on the adult side need to realize that you need to be vigilant. Everybody's vulnerable, but think like the person that you're trying to protect and talk to them the way they would understand it. Mm-hmm. And law enforcement has to help facilitate that. Schools and churches and all these different peoples and, you know, Aunt Marisol's and Uncle Chris's, you know, we need to be there to help support somebody who's a single mom or a dad who doesn't know how to raise girls, right? I got two boys. If I had a girl thrown on my family, I wouldn't know what to do, right? But if I had somebody who had the fruit on the tree, I'd be like, help me.
Right.
As far as those that are in the teens, a lot of it is they got to see the reality of what's happening. I say stuff becomes real when it happens to you.
Right.
And so you are driving and you're 17 years old and you never, ever think that it's ever going to happen. All of a sudden, boom, you get into a car accident. It makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the great experience of other people is the best teacher, but it's more personal when it happens to you. So use the experience of people and say, to your teen, okay, we're gonna watch this. We're gonna watch this podcast. We're gonna have a conversation. You can go back even to the share site, you know, GCSOMichigan.com. I play live audios from predators. You can actually hear the predator ordering up. Yes. Like, here's what the chats are. That's the kind of stuff that, like, no way. Exactly. That's why if somebody's never seen, I know it's not a dope show, but if no, somebody's never seen fentanyl and never seen people drop dead from fentanyl, show them a video on YouTube. You can find anything on YouTube of somebody, how fast it happens.
Right.
So when somebody comes to you and says, hey man, I got something for you. If that image is in their head, again, it's going to trigger a response, even if it saves 6 out of 10. It's six you wouldn't have saved. So a long answer to a short question. Adults need to be aware of how to train and teach those that are under, but the younger have to be open that it is real. And when those two things happen together, then you're saving people before it happens. That's that proactive side. That's why I said my boys, 23 and 20, they're carved out of marble. They're super dudes. But if you ask them, they can have the same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
My boy goes on ghost ops with us. He's one of our photogs. Like, he's been there. He sees it. Like, I don't shroud my kids from the reality of what's happening, because when they're 28,
right,
I want them to be ready to slay the dragon themselves, not be caught.
Right. So not everyone gets the benefit of having you as their dad.
But these platforms.
But you've allowed it so that people can go on your website, which we will put down below, so they can see these things and get some education for their own, for themselves and for their own kids.
So if you go there, just a little, it's not a plug for anything, but I created what's called the Ghost Certified Program.
That's right. I wanted you to talk. Please talk about the Ghost Certified Program.
So there's five algorithms, okay, when it comes to five in the algorithm. When it comes to human trafficking, education, awareness, enforcement, aftercare, and belief.
Right.
Like, that's the ultimate, you know, umbrella, is you got to believe in education, you got to believe in awareness, you got to believe in enforcement, aftercare, right? So those are the five in the algorithm in Swanson land. In the education and awareness part of it, there's people that watch what we do. And trust me, being an operator is really cool. I mean, we're banging doors, we're grabbing people. Right. I mean, you've been there. Like,
I
told you, if you were an actress, you should be what?
Should be a cop.
Yes! And I'd hire you tomorrow.
Thank you.
And that may happen, David.
I'd come.
We'll keep that under wraps. Okay. We got to have a surprise.
Okay.
But when that all happens, people want to be like, how do I do that? There are freedom fighters that can't do operations like we do, but how do you do it? That's why I created Ghost Certified. So if you go on that site, I've got three videos. I do an intro video, and there's two town hall videos to do. It's 2.5 hours of total content, and we are right just like this, but it's really high energy. And after that, you take a 25-point quiz, and it goes over all the highlights of what you just did. That submits to us, and I sign a certificate. I mail it to you with a Ghost Certified sticker. Mm-hmm. It's a really sweet sticker. It's got that logo, and it says Ghost Certified. But here's the purpose of it. When businesses or churches or people put it up, I'm hoping that that brand tells a victim who may not want to come to a police officer or may come to a male, wait a second, they understand what I'm, because the quiz teaches about grooming, and we have done hundreds and hundreds of those. There's stickers all over the place popping up. Like, that's part of the solution, but it's not the solution.
Mm.
And so that goes certified when someone sees a sticker and a victim comes forward and they're able to say, hey, I need some help. Mm-hmm. And that person knows what to do. Like, if that didn't happen, how long would that victim go without a voice?
Right. It's sort of like, it's sort of a beacon for a victim to go, oh, they know what to do. They understand the predicament I'm in.
Yeah.
So can anyone go on and get go certified?
Yeah, yeah. I'll send all over the country because it's the message. And by the way, you know, there's always critics, right? What happens if a freak gets it? Well, they probably will because there's freaks watching our podcast. There's freaks walking this. And,
oh, yeah.
And they're going to know the playbook. I'm going to bet on more people are not freaks and it's going to save lives.
That's right.
So for anybody who's watching and say, hey, wait a second, isn't the predators going to find out? Yeah, but they're already predators, all right?
I never paid attention to the haters. When you're doing good, that's the only time they start hating.
True that.
Since the formation of Ghost, mm-hmm. right? Can you talk about how do you get this 100% conviction, 100% confession rate? Because that is so impressive.
Yeah. So when we first started, I got a hold of an assistant prosecutor of our county. Some people call them DAs, assistant DAs. You need a legal prosecutor to be with you right out of the gate.
So what that means, just for our audience, since they're not law enforcement, that if you don't have a prosecutor, like you can have a guy coming and arrest a guy for doing something bad, but if you don't have a prosecutor that will prosecute, you have no case.
Correct.
And the person walks free. So you have to have a prosecutor working with law enforcement to do these operations.
And if somebody walks free, Marisol, think of who else they're going to hurt. And I drop the ball. Like, that's not why I do this, right? So we have charges. Every county, every state has charges. And there's variables that have to be met in order to meet the charge.
Right.
Because the court system is going to take these charges and a judge or a jury is going to read and say, did you prove this variable? That variable and that variable. And if you did, that's this charge and this is a penalty. So knowing the playbook in the beginning is what we did for Ghost. It's like, we want to completely disrupt anybody who's going to say we entrap somebody. Like, how do we get past the entrapment defense? If you think about how, just like when I was a street cop, whenever there's an armed robbery or shooting, I'm thinking, where would the bad guy go? If you think like a bad guy, you find him a lot more, right? You don't want to run into the scene because they're running away.
Right.
So how do you build a defense? And right out of the gate, for the actual conviction rate, we built our cases to meet every variable, to have the evidence, to do their police reports, to capture the chats, to use the software we have to actually capture all the conversations, all the pictures, build the case. So by the time it goes to the prosecutor, it's gift wrapped. So a defense attorney is going to look at it and go, I got nothing. We're going to have to take a deal. 100% conviction rate. Even the ones that went to trial, convicted, juries convicted, because we don't bring junk. The second half is the confession. There's no better evidence than someone telling you they did it and why.
Right.
So we are experts at interviewing. We're experts, even if it's a complicated one. Right. We're experts at theming. We're experts at communicating, which is what we're doing right here.
Right.
Like, there's things that I knew coming into this podcast that I was going to say 2 weeks ago.
I believe it.
Yeah, because it's all part of the messaging. So if I'm sitting down talking to somebody and they're already arrested, right? And in custody, that's an interrogation. If I bring you in, you're not in custody, that's an interview. Regardless, I'm getting you to tell me what you did wrong because I sell prison. Like, how who's going to do that? Mm-hmm. But you do it in a way, you build a rapport. As soon as we put the cuffs on, we're patting them down, guns, bombs, tattoos, whatever they're looking for. As soon as you do that, we're like, hey, listen, it's going to be okay. Your wife's not going to find out. All right. You didn't come here to kill her, did you? No, I know this. All we want to make sure is that you're not out there. There's not dead bodies in your car. There's not dead bodies in your car, is there? No. All right. Listen, don't fight because as soon as we're done, we're going to take you down to the county and you'll be on your way. Absolutely. Are you good? Yeah, man. Listen, you didn't come here to hurt anybody, did you? You didn't. No. All right. Now, listen, Steve, this is what we have. I didn't do that. Steve, we're not here to discuss what you did because we have all the chats. We want to find out why, like what's going on? What's behind the scenes? Now I'm a caregiver. And now he lays it out. Confession done.
Yes.
And that's just an overview. There's so many other things that you do. Yeah, exactly.
Love that stuff.
You know when I know you love things? Because the veins in your forehead pop out. Yeah, I love it. That's why it's like, I love it. No, that's good. That's passion.
Thank you.
I got that one right there that pops out. Into my side of the, see that one popping out right there?
Yes.
See, veins are good.
Okay, so there's something that I have always wanted to know, and it kills me, and I don't know if you can answer it, okay? But you talked about the laws that already exist on the books. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that you would not have a supply of 2 million children caught up in the sex trade if there wasn't a demand.
Yes.
So for me, and when we arrest these guys that are going out to buy the kids, that's going after the demand.
Right.
So the thing that kills me is this understanding that if the guy paid for it, it's not rape, mm-hmm. right? And there's a whole campaign yeah. that's coming out that's like, it doesn't matter if you paid for it or not, it's
right.
rape,
right?
Right? You paid to rape someone.
Yep.
What I don't understand, at least in California and the experiences I've had there, mm-hmm. they arrest them for pandering. It's mm-hmm. called pandering.
Yeah, right.
Because they can get an arrest rate because yeah. that's what the prosecutor will do. One of these days, I'm going to get a DA on here and they're yep. going to explain it to me why. But there exists a law called statutory rape mm-hmm. that says that if you are over the age of 18 mm-hmm. and you have sex mm-hmm. with someone under the age of 18, mm-hmm. whether they're 17 or 12,
right.
it's rape. Mm-hmm. And nowhere in that law, as far as I'm aware, mm-hmm. does it say unless you paid for it. Mm-hmm. So can you explain to me why these guys that are buying mm-hmm. prostitutes or trafficked victims or whatever you want to call them, and they're underage, why they aren't charged as statutory rape?
There's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law.
Okay.
The letter of the law is exactly what you're pointing out. If this and this equal this, why not this, right?
Yeah.
The law doesn't work that way. And I say that, and it's hard to say it because I'm in the system. The spirit of the law, there's a lot of subjective decisions being made. And many of the things that are being done are state specific. You could look at our country. You see, states are all divided. You have conservative states and liberal states. You have states in the middle. You have states that do all sorts of things. I can't answer that. You're right. And there's not a single person that could ever come on your show to answer that. Other than it's going to take this gigantic movement to change the mindset, just like we've done for addictions. Not every addict and not everybody who overdose is a piece of crap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But society says, well, if they overdose, they shouldn't have been taking drugs. What? Like, where did that come in? You change the mindset, how you treat victims that are even prostituting themselves. Back it up. They have no job. They got a kid. They're trying to make it. Nobody's going to take them. What do? Do they go rob a bank or do they sell themselves? They're trying to figure things out. It's the mindset. And it's going to take individuals like you, like me, like people watching and listening right now to use good discretion to charge and to change the narrative and the belief that these people, they don't have a choice when they're being raped, especially somebody who's a high baller. And you being in your industry, I mean, the whole world saw Epstein and Harvey, and you saw this whole thing, this whole, like, that's at every level. It happens in government. It happened in the UK. You know what I mean? It's like, it's systemic. I would love to say this is the solution, Marisol, but the solution is everybody who's listening. How do you use your circle of influence to change the mindset that it is rape and that the people that are consuming are just as guilty as the predators?
Thank you.
That's the message in platforms like this, ABC News, NBC, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, the more we can put it out there, like, no, victims have a voice. They have a voice. They can stand up. The more advocates we have, you just talked about a big movement that's happening. That's what it's going to take. But we talk about human trafficking being the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. Mm-hmm. But it's not just because it's a new industry. It's been going on for years. It's just now that there's a new light on it. So if in the last 10 years, you've seen that this industry has just exploded, that's good in one way because now we're making it a priority. So I think we're going to make a lot of progress in the next 10 years and change that mindset. But if you have people, and I can tell you this, there's a lot of people in those positions that don't want to criminalize it because they themselves are consumers.
From a law enforcement point of view.
Yeah.
Why is it that we cannot all of a sudden legalize this trade?
I think it's more unique than any other crime against a human being. I mean, even when it comes to murder, if I took someone's life, I mean, that's bad. You're taking someone's life. But sexual assault is so personal. I've never been sexually assaulted, but I have dealt with countless victims. And not only are you taking someone's innocence, but you're also taking someone's freedom. You're taking their voice. And then you on top of that, the majority of the people who do this are either related or something, right? And to just say to all those victims, past, present, and sadly future, we're going to decriminalize that. So what happened to you, it's okay with us. There may be a movement, Marisol, but I'm telling you, this country and this society will never go for it. There may be pockets and shame on them. Mm-hmm. And it's shame on any society that doesn't protect the most vulnerable because that's why we're here. Whether it's the mentally ill, whether it's the elderly, whether it's the addicted, whether it's companion animals, whether it's the vulnerable victims of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, neglect in the workplace, whatever it is. These are people that are being bullied, but in a different way. we'll go have all these bully assemblies in school, you know, shame on the bullies, you can't, but yet the people that are being victimized, like, those things nauseate me. And I always wonder, being a police officer, you ask, what is the intent behind it? We always look at intent. Like, what is the intent? Is it because you want it to be easier to facilitate because you're deviant? Like, how can you justify that? And don't tell me it's the oldest profession in the world and that way we justify it. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that used to be good back then that we don't do now because we're a civilized nation, right? You can't do that. What we're doing is we're counteracting that, and there's more of us than them.
You said something beautiful. You said, shame on a society who doesn't protect its most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful. Thank you for that. Okay, so I've heard these stories of survivors that have escaped their trafficker, and they ran to law enforcement, obviously not your jurisdiction, but they ran to law enforcement. They got themselves to the police station.
I know
you already know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And the police there didn't see them as the victim. The police there saw them as a perpetrator. They were condescending to them. They, in some cases, have given them back to the trafficker. I know you don't represent all law enforcement, and I know you are completely different. But how can that be that you can still have police stations where they don't understand how to recognize a victim? And then the survivors step down and they lose faith in anybody.
So to be fair, that also happens in schools. It happens in hospitals, emergency rooms. It happens at churches.
Yes.
It happens where there's people that any victim goes to and said, I need your help. But because they either are not educated, they don't believe the person, they have their own prejudices. That's why, as a sheriff, I don't answer to anybody. I don't have a boss, Marisol. I don't answer to a mayor. I don't answer to council. My boss is the people. And as an elected official, I get to do what I think is right from my heart. That's why I'm kind of a unicorn elected official, because I never do things to keep my job. I do whatever I need to do to do my job. And if 51% of the people like that, I'm good. You know what I mean? I don't need to be all strategic. I'm just going to be me.
Right.
And other sheriffs and chiefs around the country, those That is another movement that's happening, because now we're like, I didn't even see that. That's why we're doing operations in 35 counties in the state of Michigan. These are offices of sheriff that have never done human trafficking.
Right.
And so when we do an operation, you know what we're doing? We're changing the whole culture of that agency. So God forbid that victim ever comes back there. We are like Lone Ranger. We left our silver bullet. Now they know exactly what to look for. And you're going to protect people. Not all cops are created equal.
Fair.
Not all agencies are created equal. Whenever one person in this profession does something, good cops take it personal. So when you tell me those stories, it breaks my heart, because I'm like, if I ever heard that happen in our agency, I would choke them out. Like, that is so far from what we are as the agency. But yet I know it happens. And just like I know that we have taken complaints of police agencies that have demeaned a dead child, where a mom or a dad's asking for answers because their kid overdosed and the police department calls them an addict. Like, that doesn't justify the murder that just took place because they bought dope that killed him. That's for all intents and purposes, that's a murder. Yeah, he facilitated it, but you can't just dehumanize people like that.
Right.
I wish I had a better answer. All I can say is I'm doing my part so that never happens again.
And I wish all cops were like you.
Well, that's too kind, but there's a lot of great cops out there.
There are a lot of great cops out there. There are a lot. I'm friends with a lot of them.
And we're gonna make more of them. And I said, you know, this is 2022. You know, 2020 was a big shift in our profession. And I've said this all over, that people love the police, but it's our job to show them why every day.
Mm. You take a lot of responsibility. You do.
Dude, do you know how much my family has, over the last 30 years, given for me to do my job? Like, leaving
Talk
at 2 in
that.
The morning?
People oh don't my understand gosh. That. I want them to know that.
Only because of, you asked me to, but it's not because I'm egocentric or anything. I mean, there's cops that do all this plus some, okay? Chris isn't the only guy, but, you know, you got, you know, a wife and kids, and you've got, you know, my parents and all this other stuff, right? So dressing in the morning to go do your job, to come back and undress in the garage because roaches and fleas and blood and puke and death, and going at 3 in the morning to do a notification to a family member whose loved one had their brain spilled out from hitting a tree, or chasing somebody on foot and getting sucker punched in the face, missing birthdays and holidays and Christmases, and cleaning up dead body scenes and buying dope and dealing with people that hate your guts and getting mother effed by people who don't even know you, but the second something happens to them, they'd call 911, to be sued by people, to be named as a defendant, to be in a complaint, to be looked at and judged because of some ding dong 2,000 miles away. Like, it is a crazy field. We have given so much as law enforcement to do a job that is unlike any other job. And those that are out there every day, there's 800,000 cops in America today. They do good work. There's not a place that you can't call 911 and somebody that, even if you hate, they're going to show. We're the last line of defense between order and chaos. I take so much pride in it because I know what I have personally given.
Right.
And I don't want anybody to ruin that. So I have no problem arresting somebody who wore the same uniform or calling somebody out who wore a badge that killed somebody by standing on their neck for 9 minutes. That ain't who we are.
Right.
Like, these are the people that, you know, somebody who wears a uniform and has a canine but rapes his own stepdaughter. Like, I want to crush you. I say all that because that's probably why I have so much pride in what we do, because I know what cops give. I know what we take every day. And you know what? They get in uniform, they run to calls, they risk their lives, they do it 24/7, they never stop. We didn't leave for COVID, we didn't leave for storms, we don't do that. When you need somebody, call the police.
Okay, most people out here know the police from pulling them over when they're speeding. Mm-hmm. And that's their main experience. Yep. So first of all, thank you for shedding a light on the reality of your job and what you do.
So that's why I have personally changed the culture of my own agency that has spilled out. And that's why every level of influence that I am given by the people beyond the sheriff, because I'm not stopping here, then I get to carry that momentum to impact more people. If you go to Genesee County, you will see on our patrol cars, every one of them on three sides, protect, serve, and unify. There are times you have to protect and slay the dragon and fight. There are times you need to go and serve the homeless food and serve the elderly, insure, and serve the addicts, Narcan. And there's times to unify people that do hate you. Go and bring people together and ask why. And people that don't worship the way you worship and believe or live the way you live or don't look like you look. Yeah, there's a time. And if law enforcement can do all three and know when to do which, that's what's going to change the mindset of, I only have law enforcement seen as a negative because when I was speeding, they pulled me over and he or she was a jerk. Like, we have to sell ourselves every day. We're the only profession that one move from one person can within minutes impact the whole profession. Minutes. There are ding-dong doctors out there. You think a doctor in Butte, Montana who does something wrong is going to affect the doctor in Tampa, Florida? No. But a cop in Butte, Montana does something wrong, we're all paying the price. The burden falls on us. And that's why our job, and sheriffs and police chiefs and commanders and people all over in the field, once we realize that our mission is evolving, it's not reform, it's police evolution, we're going to become better. George Floyd changed American policing forever. It makes us better ghost operators. It makes us better communicators. It makes us better professionals. It makes us better sheriffs. I got to do my job way different than when I got appointed in 2019 because of those things. So that's why we're going to change the narrative, and everybody's got to use a platform, including platforms like this.
You know, back when you and I did our op, and even when I started learning about trafficking back in 2011, 2012, everything was Craigslist, everything was Backpage.
Right.
Now all these technologies have gone to apps. Mm-hmm. And with all the technologies that are being developed, not only to obviously facilitate trafficking, but to also catch traffickers, there seems to be this lack of sharing of information between not only the police departments, but different types of law enforcement, whether federal, state, or local. Can you speak to that? And to what extent does that hinder essentially catching the bad guys?
Yeah. There's no geographical limits to people that commit crimes.
Right.
So you may have different jurisdictions. And if those police agencies have a beef because they lost a softball game in 2015, that's a problem. And who pays the price? The people. So getting the right leaders in those positions is the key. Number two, we see a lot less than that now because we have technology that allows us to info share. So you see a lot more, you know, case in point, September 11th.
Okay.
You know, there's a huge communication error when the towers fell because people were on different radios. They couldn't communicate. Immediately, we went to 800 megahertz. So I could literally go grab my portable in Tampa, Florida and talk to people in Flint, Michigan, as long as we have that code. So our communication is much better. When you look at jurisdictions that are working well with each other, you know, I think sheriffs are in a great position to bring chiefs and command officers and colonels in from state police to kind of try to push. I think we see a lot more of info sharing, especially from the federal level down, also up. They need to realize that local police officials have a rich supply of intel at the street level. So the higher you go up from that 30,000 foot view, sometimes you can't see on the bottom. And so those local influencers, I think that's getting better. That's part of that police evolution. You know, we can't be silos. The criminal element is taking advantage of that. But because of our software, because of our reach, it's becoming less and less. DNA with CODIS, you know, I could put a DNA match in a national database and find out if somebody in Arlington has a match. And now I'm contacting Arlington, Texas and say, hey, we got a DNA match. Can you go knock on so-and-so's door? That's always been. Cops are, they're the wiliest weird kind of people ever because we may fight, but I'm going to die for you. You know, I may never meet you, but I can tell you when I call you, I know you're going to help me out. And I can see you at a baseball game. And as soon as we realize we're cops, we're like, hey, what's up? And then we're also the most judgmental and we talk about each other. We're a bunch of catty folks, but all that stuff happens. I think it's getting better, but it still has a lot to go.
Fair enough. Thank you for that. Do you want to talk about our op?
Oh, the school shooting you went to?
Well, I want to talk about the school shooting.
And you went running hot?
Like, okay, so I want to paint the picture, right? So we've been holed up in this god-awful...
We did a two-day op.
We did 2 days. Two days. Holed up in this awful... I have lots of pictures of it, too. Hotel room where we're just chatting and arresting guys, like, all day long. All these men showing up to have sex with young kids. And we're packing up. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
We're packing up. We're ready to go.
I just got a case of water.
Right. I want to take a shower.
Yeah.
Right. I think I brought you guys Starbucks and food.
Yeah.
Like, got a whole bunch of money. Like, let's eat. I want to take a shower.
It's about between six and seven o'clock.
Good. And then what happened?
I pulled to the back of this two-story motel and you were on the second story because we were moving to different rooms. And I heard the radio traffic. We have shots fired at a school. I literally pulled in. I'm like, get in. We got a school shooting. Get in. So one guy sat at the front. You jumped in back. And I think there was a fourth party back in there. And I had an unmarked Tahoe. And man, we hit lights and siren. And it was about 11 miles from where we are. And we just busted tail to get there.
4 minutes.
And I wasn't trying to do anything what I normally do, but I know I wanted you to see it because you know, I mean, you just don't have it all the time. But what it was a basketball game and there was a shooting in the game and the school just filled out and it wasn't an active shooter, but it was a school shooting. We treat it as an active shooter. And as we were going there, if you remember, we were going to take a northbound shot on Linden Road. There were two other marked cars there. And as we were coming up towards where the actual incident happened, they put out a description of a possible suspect.
Yep.
So we busted a 180. We pulled there. And looking back, you thought the car was on fire. Remember that?
I do.
Because the brake dust was all going. And we were able to get there. And it was an officer who already had them stopped. But there were two in the car.
Yep.
And they had blood on them. Do you remember me talking? They had blood on them. And we got them out at gunpoint. And, you know, and you were there to witness the whole thing. And I think it probably was the first time you ever ran hot.
Ever.
Isn't it cool?
I'll give it for the podcast, but I videoed the whole thing. It was really amazing. Fun. Yeah. It was amazing.
I love it.
I can only say that because look, no one was hurt.
Right.
We got the bad guys. It was great, but I've always just that little kid in me.
Yeah.
Always wanted to do that.
You lucked out. Now the car we stopped were not the shooters. But we had to do, and that's what police are. You have to be thrown into the storm to like shuffle all these facts to find out who's where and who's what. So there's a lot of people responding. And then we set up posts to see if, you know, and that's where the boring part came. I can't sit still. So I'm not a surveillance guy. I'm not the guy. Don't ask me to sit surveillance because I'm like 30 seconds later.
Really?
Yes.
That didn't occur to me.
You wouldn't either. You would hate it too.
I'd go nuts.
That's right. But that was a great day. And we have, you obviously had the video and it was great for people to see that side of it because on the consumer side, you're driving to Sam's, you're driving to Walmart and you see somebody running hot. Yeah. You have to pull over. You're late for your appointment. You know what you think? Right. Come on, people. Look how fast they're going. Oh my gosh. He came over to Centerline not knowing there was a shooting at a school at a high school.
Yeah.
So you get to see both sides of it.
It was fun. Yeah. It was really, really fun. So I haven't gone undercover with you in 3 years. So what's the next?
We got to break that cycle.
We've been talking about this. I know we can't obviously say too much because it's going to happen. But why don't you elaborate on what we can say?
Here's the cool part that when I met you, I mean, there was other celebrities there, right? You probably get it very, you know, being on the shows that you're on, you know, there are probably people that you have to filter through to figure out what their intentions are. Mm-hmm. Like, you never met me.
No.
But after all these years, now you see that we have a very similar heart. Yeah. But on the flip side, I don't want to bring somebody in our circle that I don't trust. So we had this slow dance for a couple of years. That first stop, it was immediate click. But I've seen one thing about you, and you are consistent in the fight. There's not a lot of people that do that. There's people that get a CEO spot on a board, or they want to be here and they want to be there, and another opportunity comes and a big fish swims and they jump. If there's one thing about Marisol Nichols, she has been committed to the fight against human trafficking, doing what you do best, and that's what I respect. And so in planning this, we can still learn from each other. I mean, you can learn from us, I can learn from you, but if it allows you to have more intel to on your platforms, whether it's acting, whether it's a doc, or whether it's a podcast, then it makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. I'm doubling down on every opportunity to get this message out.
Right.
And so that's why we're going to have you back on an operation. And that's why we're going to really use our media. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I reach 2.5 million people a month on social media. So now look at the voice we have from 3 years.
That's right.
And it's going to work because it's supposed to. And so I would love to not only have you on an operation, but I'd also love to deputize you as a ghost operator for the sheriff's office. Like, we talked about that. It just didn't work out, but now it just makes sense to do it. And what does that mean?
Does that mean? Do I get out of tickets?
See, then you just lost your deputy status. Lost your deputy status. You're so close. I just said we're slow dancing, then you just moved right in. No, you know what it does? It validates to the public that, you know, whether you're, you know, a superstar actress or you're an athlete, I don't need people's star power to get a message. I need their heart. If they happen to be a star, that's a double bonus. And when I see people like you, and you're not just a keyboard warrior, you're not just throwing Instagram and TikTok videos out there about, we need to do something, but you're doing nothing. Do you know how many people I've invited out to help with racial justice and social justice and race relations? And all these people over the last 2 years that want to do something, and you can't even get a call back. Mm-hmm. You got to go through all this different layers. I thought government's bad. Right. You know, all your layers of people you got to go through to get to somebody. You've been given a position of influence. Use it. Use it. If you're in fashion, or if you're in movies, or in music, or you're in sports, like, that's when people have it. Because eventually people won't even know your name.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's a times where you're just irrelevant. So while you're here, use it. And you've always done that. And so by recognizing that and deputizing somebody is a big deal. We've been around since 1836. I'm only the 40th sheriff there. And when you deputize somebody, you're giving them an oath. You're giving them a public declaration that you are part of a law enforcement community and that we're here for life. And that's what it means. So don't speed.
You make me cry again.
Yeah. Wait till it happens. You will cry. Waterworks. Because it's a big deal. Every time I give an oath, it's a big deal.
I didn't start out on the good side of the law. On the other side.
That's even a better story.
I was running away. I was doing drugs. I was hiding from cops. I was the person that you'd probably be looking for. Right. I mean, I was young, 13, 14, 15, but I was on the other side, right?
And that's perfect.
It's also why I do what I do.
Yeah.
And why I'm like, yeah, you need me, I'll come. Because I didn't have anyone.
Right.
They're looking out for me. So now to come sort of full circle and have you, you know.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
Say and acknowledge, like, now that I get to be a part of the team that's on the other side, that is helping, that is looking out for the girl who has no one looking out for her. That means the world.
That's going to be beautiful.
Thanks.
Let me tell you what you are. As a medic, when someone's not breathing, I breathe for them, right? It's called inspiration. When you breathe life into somebody, you have the ability to save their life. That's what people like you are. And when you go into that realm and you venture into an operation or you take an oath, you are going to breathe life into people because you're showing that it can be full circle. You don't need to stay here.
Right.
You don't need to be victimized every year. You can crawl out because Marisol did it. That's why it's going to be a great story. It's an inspirational story. You're going to breathe life into people. And that moment, among others, is going to save lives.
I want to give a giant thank you to Sheriff Christopher Swanson for joining me on my podcast. I'm looking forward to our next operation together, and I can't wait to bring you guys that story in the very near future. It's going to be a good one. And remember, if you are enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and visit us at www.slaveryfreeworld.org. And feel free to leave your comments and questions. I want to hear from you. As always, thank you for listening.